Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You're with Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show tonight. We are on the air. We're rocking and rolling, rolling and rocking. We have a good show tonight for you. For those who are tuning in tonight, maybe for the first time, I'd like to give a shout out to my cousin Sean out in Colorado. Thank you, cuz, for supporting the show. We really, really, really appreciate it. We also have someone on the line already at 5172. Just want to also thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. Like to first give my condolences to a lot of people across the country for we're losing people daily in regards to this Corona 19. I'm not sure what is going on right now, but I do know that this is really, really has hit the African-American community really, really hard. I'm going to get into my perspective, which I have a right from my perspective to talk about what I think is going on with this coronavirus, but also want to be able to get your perspective as well. But I want to give a shout out to all the freedom fighters across the country, as well as those here in Fresno. Let's see, Brother Ralphie, Brother Ed, just many people that that's on the front lines here in Fresno. Again, I want to thank everyone just one more time for supporting me running for mayor. I want to thank my team for their commitment, dedication. We learned a lot about running for mayor. We came in third. We were the last to file, but we came in third. So that says a lot about the message that we had. Hit a lot of bumps, a lot of hurdles, but, you know, that's life, bumps and hurdles. And so we're just going to keep it real. We're going to keep it 100. And we're going to keep building in our community. You know, May 1st, we're going to be doing an action protest here, May 1st. I believe if you go to the Facebook, let me see if I can find it real quick. If you go to the Facebook, I believe it's up on the announcements, I believe. See, it's community calendar. And so I'm going to be on the street live that day, broadcasting, see virtual demonstration caravan in support of all workers. Okay, so you can go to the Facebook right now and you can see that. I'm going to post this right now on my wall so you get a chance to read it. Did I put down here? I'm going. I hope I did. And so we're going to be, it's from 12 to 1. Just real quick, just want to give a shout out to Brother Ralphie, who is leading this. And you know, I have his back 110%. This is from Fresno to Houston to Phoenix, Arizona, Colorado, Paso, Sonoma County, Sacramento, San Bernardino County, and the Bay Area. We invite everyone to a virtual demonstration in support of all workers at a time of crisis. The goal is to stand in solidarity with essential workers, especially the undocumented, at a time when they are expected to show up to work, feed, care for, and provide the basic needs to America while placing their own lives in danger. Black and brown workers have been killed at an alarming rate by the corona, and this radical equality will be a key focus of our May 1st event. It goes on to say, and I'm reading this from the Facebook event that you can go to, or go to my wall. You can see it. I just reposted it. You can go to the Facebook calendar. It's already posted. It reads, this is a question about the health and safety of some of the most vulnerable workers, least paid, least likely to have insurance, least likely to have a savings account, least likely to own a home and rent, least appreciated, yet the most hunted by ICE. Okay. Some say we must not do anything and just stay home. Others worry that we will endanger other lives through our activism. We say now more than ever, people must take a stand on Friday, May 1st, whether through social media, caravan, or if legal in your city in person. We cannot be frightened into an act of silence. Thus, we encourage people to do what can, but post your support online so that this virtual demonstration in support of the least appreciated and least paid is noted in history. So this is a very important event. I spoke to Brother Ralphie the other day about this, and you know, I told him that, you know, he was telling me that, he said, man, I'm getting a lot of pushback, man, you know, from different people in the community. And I said, bro, you know how we roll, man. You know, I said, if you feel we need to do it, I said, we doing it. You know, I'm there with you, bro. You know, through thick and thin. You know, I mean, that's just how I made the relationship me and Brother Ralphie had. And so, you know, I'm there. I can't speak for nobody else. Brother Ralphie, Brownberg has always been there for me, so I'm going to be there for them. We're going to be running the Blog Talk Radio that day, May 1st, from 12 to, is this a 12 to 1? Let me get the time right. Yeah, 12 to 1 p.m. I'm going to be on Ground Zero. We're going to be broadcasting live Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to be live streaming at the same time. So we're going to let the world know. We're going to let Houston, Phoenix, Oregon, Colorado, El Paso, Sonoma County, Sacramento, San Bernardino, the Bay Area, that Fresno is in the house. And that's just how we do it here. And no one is scared. The bugle has been blown, and we're going to go to the sound of the bugle. And so I will be there in full support. Also, you know, and we know that, you know, also we have those who are incarcerated right now and behind the prison walls that's being infected by the virus. A lot of different shades of people. You know, the African-American people, I just got some information today that the mayor of Atlanta is receiving death threats because, you know, people want her to open a city, and she's saying, no, it's too early. So she's receiving death threats. And the thing that I'm going to tell our family out in Atlanta, that, you know, especially black men right now, it's your job to protect our women. I don't give a damn if you voted for her or not. She's a black woman. And if anybody put a hand on our black women, there's consequences, period. I know she got a police force and all of that, but it's black men's job to protect our black women. You know, I don't care about, you know, you be a gangbanger or whatever. Do not let nobody harm our sister out there. I don't know her, but all I know is she's a black woman. And no one put their hands on our black women. If you do, there's consequences. So we're just going to keep her in prayer, as well as everyone else here in Fresno, as well as across the country. I'm hoping that Maria Elsk call in. I have a caller on the line right now. I'm going to go ahead and see who this is. I'd like for you to call in to 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. You with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about Mayor Brand. COVID-19 committee excludes African American people here, and hopefully I will be able to get my partner in crime to call in, since we went at 8:30 tonight. So I'm waiting on her to call in. So anyway, call in if you can. We're going to talk about this tonight. Just give some framework here. Those of you know I ran for mayor, and one of the things that I ran on is equality. I still don't feel that we have equality here in Fresno. I still feel that African-American people are the last hired and the first fired. I feel that there's no respect for black people here in the city. I feel that we are still living in the tales of two cities here in Fresno, as well as Mississippi, Fresno. You all know I changed the name of our city. And so it's just some, I want to get your perspective of how you feel. Maybe you think black people don't need to be on this committee. I mean, you know, maybe you're saying, well, you know, Harris, we don't need no black people on the committee. You know, we're fine with all white people on the committee. But I'm not rolling like that. I feel that we need represent. When you start talking about anything in the city of Fresno, we have to be at the table. So understand we have different layers of people. We have different layers of leadership in our community. And I want to put that framework there because it's important that we understand. See, I don't speak for all black people, okay? And I think what's happening is that we have allowed white people to decide to pick who they want to speak for us, okay? No, it don't roll like that. You know, we have to have a consensus as black people to say, hey, we want this person to speak for us on this issue because we know that this person has our best interests and they're educated and they understand the issue. But what happens in Fresno is time and time and time again, the power structure, which is Lily White, decides, oh, I'm going to go and pick, I'm just going to throw a name out there, Willie Blue, why don't you come on and be in the committee? Willie Blue don't know a thing about the issues of the committee. So I think it's time that black people, Fresno, understand and smell the coffee to understand that you have people in high places at City Hall, Board of Supervisors, handpicking black folks to speak for us, okay? And we know nothing about it, all right? So she'll be calling in a minute to give her some framework around the conversation. So I'm going to bring our guests in, 5172, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're talking about Mayor Brand COVID-19 committee that was created, I guess, by him. We found out today by one of our community leaders that was this information came to her that there were no black people on the committee. Just want to welcome you to our show, 5172.
Can you hear me, Russ?
Hey, we hear you loud and clear. How are you doing today?
Okay, hey, this is Aline. I'm good. You know, when I saw that you were going to be talking about this tonight, I you know how I am. I was like, my plan is always to listen, but I got a big mouth. And I did a little thinking about this, about who would be – I picked out six names, Reverend Harris, and I'm just going to throw them out there. You tell me what you think about these black people that could be – that are qualified to be on this COVID-19 committee. Okay,
right.
So the first name, in no particular order, but I'm going to list their credentials as I go. The first person on this list is yourself. You have been a leader in Southwest Fresno for over 30 years. You are well known, well spoken, and you have credibility and integrity in your community. And you stand up for what's right. Okay, so there's you. That's the first one. The second one, for people who already work for the city, people like Greg Barfield, who's the facts director, in charge of the bus system. The brother, I think his last name is Robinson. He's the director for Parks and Rec. He was hired a few years ago. Keisha Thomas, who's on the Fresno Unified School Board. Wendy McCullough, who is part of Fresno Unified, working with African American Student Achievement. And last but not least, Sister Dottie Smith, who is a former elected official with the State Center Community College Board. So I'm just throwing out six names. You mean to tell me that in all of Metro Fresno, all of Fresno County, you couldn't find, you couldn't pick out at least these six people to be on this committee. I don't understand that. And so I just want to throw that out there. Those are six names of highly professional, highly qualified people who are well known to the community, who could contribute to this based on their experience. So please tell me, Reverend Harris, I mean, what do black people have to do to be heard? People always say, well, you know, why black people talk so loud? We talk loud because white people don't listen. That's why.
Well, a couple of things here. You know, dealing with the history of Fresno, and I'm speaking from a grassroots perspective right now, over 30 years of service, serving to our community here, it's been my experience with the power structure here, from the Board of Supervisors to City Hall, that they do not want people. Other words, they want yes people. They don't want to be in opposition of what they have to say. And so I mean, for the 30 years of being a civil rights leader, activism work, I cannot even remember one time that City Hall ever asked me to be part of a committee to now I was on a police advisory board, so let me take that. I was on a police advisory board. But I mean from the top seat of the city, the mayor office, they have never ever asked me to come and sit in. Now, here's the thing. Even if they did ask me to come, I have a moral responsibility to the community, not just to say, oh, yes, I'm going to be on this committee of the mayor. What I would do is I would call around to people that I respect in the community and ask them. I have been approached with this opportunity that to represent the African American community. What do you think? Do you think that there's someone else? Do you think that I should do? I mean, that's how I operate, right?
So, so what you're saying is you're about building consensus in community and then moving that forward. Okay.
Exactly. And most people that even in this city would just like, if the opportunity jumped, they just, okay, great, I'm going to be on it. Okay, great. You know, for whatever their reasons, they forget about the responsibility of the community. What if there's someone else that's more qualified or more knowledgeable of what's going on, and I'm not the person, then I would say, hey, you know, I think this person would be better fit to speak to this issue than me. All right? But when we have more people with white privilege use their skin color to go out and handpick people to speak for us, to speak for me, to speak for you, and we know nothing about it. And then in this scenario here, it's been brought to my understanding today that the list came out and there was no black people on it. So
no black people, and I didn't notice any Hmong people on it either. Maybe I looked too quick. But you know something, Rev, this is the problem with Fresno, that people talk about unity, they talk about one Fresno, which has always been a big lie. But the thing is that if you don't include the grassroots, you will never have a unified Fresno. Never. That is not going to happen from the top down. It's just not.
And I don't think that the power structure wants a unified Fresno. They never have, and they never will. Because, you
say
know, if you remember, Autry ran off the concept Tales of Two Cities, the has and the has not. You know, our community, West Fresno, south of Fresno, has always been the tale of this entire city.
Right.
But yet, when you when you look at the structure and who's been in power, it's been white folk. It's been white folk. I mean, I can go back to Bill Patterson. I can go back to Autry. I can go back to the Swearington, the mayor lady. And now we have okay, that's four mayors. Four mayors. That's been the mayor of our community, right? What is that? Four, eight, that's whatever. Is that 32 years or so?
At least. And now we got a mayor elect that's not going to change anything but probably make things worse.
Right. And I'm not going to jump off subject here, but I just want to show you, you know, the pattern of the of things not being equality in our community right now, because we just now heard, for whatever reason, that the Darling has decided that they're going to close down all of a sudden. But we went through four mayors that sat there and allowed that Darling plant to operate illegally under their administration. And all of a sudden, now they're just going to close. They're going to do the right. They're just going to close all of a sudden. No, something happened.
It was pressure. Yes, something happened.
So let me
You're
go
absolutely
to
right, Rev.
So
go, please, go ahead. I'm gonna listen
let
now.
Let me stay on the line. I'm going to call 3205. 3205, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about Mayor Brand COVID-19 committee that was created, excluded African-American people here in Fresno, California. But before I let you in, I want to read what we posted. And those of you can also read that. I believe the show is on my Facebook. Now it reads, although black people are suffering the highest percentage of COVID-19 deaths in the country, the mayor of Fresno is among the growing numbers of people who do not care. This mayor of Fresno. Mayor is Lee Brandt. Once again, the power that be in the city of Fresno blatantly leave out African Americans in decisions making that especially affects them. The latest in the COVID-19 committee formed by Fresno Mayor Lee Brand to decide when and how the city will reopen. The mayor has excluded grassroots community leaders from marginalized groups from being a part of this committee. It was not until a local black woman on social media exposed that there was no black representation on this committee that others were supposedly added. Mary Brand intentionally and willfully disregarded and disrespected the African-American community. Just one more time. The committee also lacks those who have knowledge of health and other risk factors that must be considered when the city is reopened. This is the pattern of the systemic and institutionalized racism fueled by capitalism and white privilege. Join the discussion about raising awareness of the importance of having individual groups on this and other committees, the lack of African American presence and inclusive at the table. Caller 3205, caller 325. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're rocking and rolling and rocking. We are here. I believe it is. What is
What's
today?
Happening, Pastor?
Today is Thursday.
You know,
all right, the 23rd.
Another beautiful Thursday. But, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And basically, Lee Brand is doing exactly what has been done in the city of Fresno for decades. They had no intentions of allowing anyone black to be on this committee. Don't ask, don't tell. We don't care what you want to know or what you think you know. We're not interested in it. That's the way it's been in Fresno for years, man. Ain't nothing changed. Nothing has changed.
So Same old damn.
And sadly, those who could help make a change go down there and make a deal for themselves.
Say that.
Which is what happens. It becomes not about the community, but about themselves.
Well, here's what bothers me about what the respect I received today about this committee. I believe now that there is someone identified to be on, but when the information came out first, there were zero black people on. Then the conversation went to social media, and then all of a sudden, oh, we're going to go look for somebody right now. Oh, we're going to look for somebody right now.
Who's the person that was tapped for this, Reverend Harris?
Well, let me bring in our other caller so we can get some more framework of the conversation. 3366. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good night. A little past Eastern, but yes. Hi.
Hello, how are you doing there this evening?
I'm doing good. Just making my way back to my shelter in place and listening to.
Well, listen, can you give us, the listening audience, we have a lot of people on the line listening tonight, a lot of folks is like, what's going on? You know, Harris blew the bugle tonight. Something's going on in Fresno. We're trying to get the information out right now. From your perspective, what happened today with this information that came out from the mayor's office?
I got tagged in a post yesterday. So Kyle Smith Lopez put out a post about, you know, hey, you know, once again, you know, we don't have the right people on this committee. You know, it's missing some vital people. And so I was tagged by Celeste Harrell to that post, and it listed the people that was on the committee. And so Celeste Harrell brought up the point that this committee had no black people. And a few people came in and commented on Celeste's post that said, yeah, you know, hey, there's not. And we start questioning that. And then also, you know, other groups that were absent from this committee that are vital, from grassroots to, you know, our professionals that are versed in certain things, you know, like diseases and spread of diseases and preventing spread of diseases and, you know, and just the effect that opening up or even things that we must keep in mind when we reopen for the safety of people, of the health of people. We know people are struggling economically. We know that there are a lot of small businesses and even some, I'm pretty sure, some black businesses that have been hit pretty hard by it, and they need income to survive and get through this. You know, there's people that have high income gaps that, you know, they feel in the pinch, and the businesses could fail or have already closed. So we understand the urgency of wanting to get back to what, you know, quote unquote normal. But it can't be done irresponsibly and in disregard to the people that can be most affected by reopening the wrong way, reopening too soon, not taking certain precautions into the equation while we're reopening, or just the fears or the sentiments of people, of our residents, you know, especially our black residents who we know are dying, you know, in a higher percentage percentages and disproportionately, you know, from other races, you know. So it just was, I just felt like I couldn't respond that at when I got first tagged last night because I had to process it because a lot of things were going through my mind. Mm. And once I did respond to it, you know, I'm like, at the least, even if that may not be the voice of, well, we know it's not the voice of all Black people, just at the least, somebody from the Black Chamber of Commerce, you know, somebody that, like, at least put in a voice for, you know, businesses, Black businesses who are probably not getting as many loans, not getting as much support financially for losses that the businesses, their business may have taken as a result of this, or even how to rebuild and the structure to rebuild and recover, you know, if possible, if at all possible. So then something, so from last night till this afternoon, all of a sudden, two more people were added. One was CEO of the Black Chamber of Commerce, and the other, I am not sure of the name. I would have to go back to the post to find that name. But also a person of color. But they're not Black, but a person of color. So you know, within less than 24 hours of this being exposed, this list, which I really felt city officials were like, if we could just get this by them really fast, you know, before they recognize it, then we'll vote or whatever, before they get a chance to dispute or weigh in or give their input, you know, by then we'll already have made our decisions and then it doesn't matter. Then we don't matter.
There's only one Black person on the committee?
That we know of, supposedly. That is not concrete confirmation. That name is not, so as far as I know, been printed in black and white.
Lord, have mercy.
So, you know, it's just, you know, funny that when they get that pressure, they ask somebody, but it's, even in that, it's still not genuine. It's still very inconsiderate. Because they're just like, well, let's just throw somebody in there, like the fill-in, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, so we can say, hey, we were, you know, we heard you, we heard what you said, and we put somebody Black on there. We put a person of color. We put some diversity in there. But you're still leaving out the people that are on the front lines, putting in that work, fighting for justice before this pandemic. You're still leaving out the grassroots community who are connected to the people, who fight for the people, who stand for the people. You're still leaving them out. Why? Mm-hmm. It makes us know you're up to something, that you're trying to pull another one over, not on just us, but on the people, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically what's happened. So since then, we supposedly have two people, both people of color, one, the CEO of the Chamber, Black Chamber of Commerce, that was put on the list. It has not been confirmed because I do not like putting out information that I do not see in black and white and know that it has been confirmed. So it is unconfirmed. But it's said to have included in less than 24 hours after the social media backlash on Mayor Lee Brand. Really just Mayor Lee Brand, you know, they supposedly got representation, which is, you know, very still solid. It need to be pushed out and need to go back to the table, and they need to bring in people that are really going to speak the truth. I just don't understand why they're so scared of these elected officials, these elected leaders, why they're so scared of critics. They don't understand. The critics are giving them the best nuggets they're going to get, you know, because if you take your feelings out of it, if you take your biases out of it and listen to the critic, really, they have the answer of how you win in how you truly serve the people, especially when it's our grassroots folks that have been on the front lines fighting for true justice and true equality. You cannot go wrong addressing and embracing your critics, and so because they're telling you where the damage is.
You make a good point, and the thing is if those elected officials had to pay a consultant, they'd be talking close to $100,000, and their critics here locally are giving them this advice for free.
For free. But what do? Attack, demean, dismiss, alienate the critics instead of embracing. Because, like I said, the critics are showing you what the damage is, where the damage is occurring, and what needs to be done about it. But this is the thing. Yep. The elected officials can move the pen that can move the money to make things happen, that can move the pen to make the decisions on things that's going to happen. Our community activists, we rich in spirit, we rich in knowledge, we rich in compassion, but at the end of the day, it is the elected officials who have the pen to push it. We can pressure. We can stand behind them and be like, you better sign it. But ultimately, it's going to take that elected official signing it. And they really, really need to take some advice from their critics and stop trying to silence and shut up and shut out their critics. From the grassroots community that's representing the people, because what they're doing is just saying, we don't care about the damage, and we don't care that's where it's happening, and we don't care who it's happening to, as long as I can stand up on my ego, as long as I can rub elbows with this person and that person. Really? You're shortchanging yourself, elected officials, when you do that. You're not only shortchanging the people, but you're shortchanging yourself.
Let me jump in here real quick. You know, and I believe, you know, being a civil rights leader and an activist, you know, I don't do anything to, I do it from the heart. It's the right thing to do. But I believe in giving credit where it's due. And I want to use, and I always tell people that you know, I just want to be a good servant to our people. But the first time that I came encounter with Lee Brand was when we were dealing with Alex's mother and that police situation. And, you know, Alu was trying to get the city, the mayor, you know, the city council office to help her and assist her. And it was just like beating a dead horse. So she called me. And I give credit to the community, not just Fresno, but the nation, because it was the nation that called in to the mayor's office, called in to the councilman office to say, hey, you know, you all need to do something about this, okay? I didn't have the money. I didn't have the resources, but I did have a voice. And that's what we have to teach our people. When we feel that something is not right, it doesn't fit right, you know, we have a voice to say something, right? And that's what we did. But when the mayor came out to Lee Brand came out to Aline's house, mom's house, it was his demeanor is what I'm talking about. It was like, you know, you serve the entire city of Fresno. You work for us, okay? We don't work for you, okay? We pay your salary. We put food on your table. And see, what has happened is these politicians in office right now feels that we have to answer to them. No, you answer to us, okay? And when we don't like something that's going on in our community, okay, we're going to pick up the phone and call you. If you don't pick up the phone, then we will go to different measures to get your attention. So when Mayor Lee Brand came out to Aline's house, do you know that he would not even speak to me? He had this nonchalant, you know, like, you know, who do you think you are, you know? exposing the city. This is how we, as black and brown people, we have to take control of our neighborhoods. We have to take control of our streets, okay? And that's what we're doing right now, is saying, hey, you know, you're supposed to be a mayor. If you're going to create a committee, it needs to be well represented from the different ethics of our community, okay? But that's not happening right now. And then it bothers us because now it's like, you want to just go handpick people there. And it's like, I had to tell a politician once, I think it was a city councilman or someone, I said, listen, I don't speak for every black person in Fresno, okay? So don't think you're just going to come get me and think that I'm going to make the decision. No, I represent the African-American community, okay? But I don't speak for everyone. We're going to go back to the call, 3205. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Do you have any, you want to chime in on this conversation? Okay, maybe they're just listening right now. So where do we go from here now? Where do we go from here now? Do we just sit idly? Do we call City Hall, the mayor's office tomorrow and say, hey, look, you know, we understand you created this committee. You know, we have names of people that we want to submit that we feel represent this committee. Or do we just leave it alone and say, you know, you just pick who you want to pick and we just go have a Coke and a smile? How do you all feel about this right now?
Well, Reverend Harris, I think it at least deserves an email from several people to Lee Brand. And it's difficult. At 62, I've seen a lot of stuff happen in Southwest Fresno, from the rendering plants that were 4, 5, or 6 back in the late 60s or through the 70s up until now. Darling's the last holdout. If the mayor wants to have a successful place in Fresno history, he's going to need to listen to the grassroots. He's going to need to listen, and if he refuses to listen, we're going to have to force him to listen through our activism. So I agree. Phone calls, emails, hard copy letters, we're supposed to be sheltering in place and keeping ourselves safe. And in the meantime, we can see the more things change, the more they remain the same. One of the earlier callers said, Fresno hasn't changed a damn bit. So we have to make our voices heard regardless. And you were right, everything you said about Lee Brand coming to my mother's house, and my mother was not happy with his presence there because we had been trying to talk to him about the damn tree in front of her house for 6 months, and nobody would listen to us. Nobody would listen to us until I contacted you and you held the press conference, and the phone number for City Hall was put out across the country. A light was shown on it, and the guy, the white brother from Tulare, came with his tree removal service and did it, something that the city refused to do. So I think we need to follow your lead, Rev, about contacting the city. You know what? What else can – we're citizens. We pay taxes. We live here. Our children go to school here. We work here. And now our lives are on the line, so all of this is heightened, and we're being killed disproportionately by this virus, and nobody wants to listen to our voices? Come on.
Well, I'm
appalled.
Well, I even think more in depth that I don't even think it's fair to have just one black person on a committee. I mean, I think we need probably several of our black leaders on the committee to make sure that we have a fair representation of our concern. You know, I mean, so it seems like to me that. We're just, you know, they're just going to throw someone on a committee just for the sake of throwing someone on, right? But effectively, as black people, we don't even have time to even say, okay, you know, let's get a phone tree going. Let's a conference call to figure out, you know, who's the best person to represent on this committee. And I'm just sick and tired of white folks thinking that they can just dominate, handpick people in our community, and it's okay. It's not okay.
It's not okay. I'm going to say this, and then I swear to God I'm going to be quiet. I am so heartened by the fact that this was made known to the black community by black people who care about what's happening in Fresno, and they sounded the alarm and made it known to the rest of us. I'm happy about that. That gives me hope.
And that's why it's important that we have gatekeepers in our community. 3205, are you there with us, 3205?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing is, no, we shouldn't let them know what we're getting ready to do. We should just go ahead and do it because Mayor Brand had no intentions whatsoever of letting us know what was going to happen with this community. And like you said earlier, they decided to pick someone to represent us. Not somebody who know what we're thinking, but somebody they wanted to control.
Mm.
See, that's what was happening with that. They had already handpicked who they wanted if they had to get somebody black, and it was definitely going to be somebody that they deal with, that they know they can tell what to do, and who will follow their lead with no questions asked.
Well, let me ask this question. I mean, we know that the city government deals with policies. They can give out tickets, and, you know, they have a lot of power. But we have power, too. How can we, as a grassroots community, create our own committee, right, and be able to educate our people and figure out what we need and what's best for us? I mean, how do we do that, or can we do that, or is that impossible?
With the current structure of power in Fresno, it is going to always be hard for us to get one of our own in there repeatedly. And when we do get one of our own in there, they have to hold the line and put our words to power and make it work for us, because if not, it's just like what they always do, put their person of control in there for us so that they can honestly say, well, look, we do have a black person. Little does the outside people know that that's a black person of their choice, of their control.
Exactly. Is Maria, is she still on the line?
Yeah.
3-6-6.
Yes, I'm still on the line.
Yeah. You coming across this information today, what were your first thoughts when you first read about it? I mean, what came over you? I mean, did it make you upset? Did it make you think? Was you okay with it? How did it make you feel?
First, it just made me feel a little tired, to be honest. When I read it, I just felt a little tired. Because I was just like, man, you know, it's always something that they're trying to hurry up and get past us.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that
was the first feeling. Like, that's why I said I had it. It wasn't so much of angry as it was just like tired, you know. And I'm like, I gotta process this. I gotta think about this because I don't want to just, you know, just jump at it, you know, because they kind of expect us to always be, you know. okay, well, they're going to be like this, or they're going to respond like this or that, you know. Mm-hmm. So this time I just said, let me just take a little time to just think and process this, you know. Mm-hmm. And so after I did that, it was more clear, like, okay, well, they wanted to form this committee real quick. They probably all know somebody that needs something or some favor or mm-hmm. pressuring them to open back up. And it's like, okay, we know we're going to have to reopen sooner or later, but really, we really need to weigh in so we do this the right way and also become more strengthened and strategic, you know, as a city, you know. So I'm like, okay, they have something that they have gained to lose if they get any kind of thing that goes against their plan, because I'm pretty sure they already have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone that may go too strongly against their plan. So they try to really move quick and silent, you know. They kind of put it out there publicly, but they really don't, you know. And so by the time people catch on and are aware and can sound, what, like we said, the alarm tonight, then they already have things done,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's like, well, we tried to, you know, include the community. Well, we did have diversity, you know. And they really want to hide those little details, because the devil is always in the details. They want to hide those little details about how in less than 24 hours, all of a sudden, they have more diversity on this list.
It's if your list
wasn't complete, if you were still choosing people and it was still open and your list wasn't complete, then your list shouldn't have went out.
That's right. Say that.
So that means to tell me that the people on that list is the only people you planned on dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't just erase it because it got out to the grassroots community through concerned citizens, and for us, a concerned black citizen also.
Mm-hmm.
And it got exposed, and they can't just go erase it real quick.
Right.
And now the pressure is on to say, okay, well, who did you pick? We want to see that in writing, because we still don't even know if the two that they said are actually on it.
That's right.
You know, that hasn't been proven yet. And so now their hand was exposed. They tried to move like they normally move, which is real, you know, silent and swift.
Mm-hmm.
And a monkey wrench got thrown into it.
Yeah.
And so what do they do? Just like they did in the situation with Arlene's mom. Okay, well, let's try to twist this around and make ourselves look like the good guys. Not saying they're the bad guys. We want you to just do your damn job. We don't want you to be the good guy or the bad guy.
That's true.
Damn.
That's
you don't got to look like the good guy. And if you don't want to look like the bad guy, don't do bad stuff. We almost cussed.
So
that's how I felt. Like, they tried to be sneaky and swift, and they got a monkey wrench thrown in, and now, like they have to do, they backpedaling, trying to clean up their crap that they put down, trying to clean up their messiness mm-hmm. and hastiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good luck with that. Now that we know.
Yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. Give shout outs real quick to Jerry, Crystal, Sarah, Pastor Chisholm, who's listening tonight. Thank you, Pastor, Tamisha, Tony, Ty. What we want to do, because we just Facebook knocked me off again and I had to get back on, so we have a new set of listeners. And so I want to read the chronology of what is on our show tonight so that those listening can get a better understanding of what the show is about tonight. As we know that across the country, we're dealing with COVID-19. We have a lot of African-American people, which is dying in a large numbers across the world. Seems like this virus is really hitting our community harder than anyone. I'm not saying that no one of the ethnics are dying, because they are, but it's really hitting us really hard. And so the context of the show tonight says, although black people are suffering, the highest percentage of COVID-19 death in the country, the mayor of Fresno, with his lead brand, is among the growing number of people who do not care. Once again, the power that be in the city of Fresno blatantly leave out African-Americans in decision-making that especially affects them. The latest is the COVID-19 committee formed by Fresno Mayor Lee Brand to decide when and how the city will reopen. The mayor has excluded grassroots community leaders from marginalized groups from being a part of this committee. It was not until a local black woman on social media exposed that there was no, I repeat, no black representation on this committee that others were supposedly added later. Mayor Lee Brand intentionally and willfully disregarded and disrespected the African-American community just one more time. Isn't that something? He did this on his way out as mayor? Anyway, we'll keep going. The committee also lacked those who have knowledge of health and other risk factors that must be considered when the city is reopened. This is the pattern of systemic and institutionalized racism fueled by capitalism and white privilege. During the decision about raising awareness of the importance of having individual groups on this issue. So that is in a nutshell of what the show is about tonight. And, you know, I thank Maria for helping us put this show together at the last minute. And I told everybody when something happens in our community that I'm going to be on top of it. So I kept my word to everyone. A lot of people are having issues with this. To me, this is business as usual in Mississippi. And find black people to put on the committee. So that's kind of the context of the show tonight. It's business as usual in Mississippi, Fresno. And so we wanted to bring this to the community's attention tonight to let you know what is taking place. We talked about in discussion tonight about possibly sending a letter tomorrow to the mayor's office, letting them know our concerns, and that, you know, maybe we want more than one person on this committee. Maybe we want a grassroots person on this committee as well as a business person, whatever we want. You know, it seems like people in this city makes decisions and don't even include what we want as black people and brown people and people of color. It's just they just start doing stuff and then they get caught with their pants down. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Maria, do you have any more thoughts about the show tonight?
Well, yeah, just following it up, you know, just like they move swiftly, I also agree with Brother Bullock, you know, saying, hey, we don't, let's just do it, you know. And so we know how to organize, we know how to call one another, we know how to get whatever and whoever we need together to get letters and pressure and that way to let them know our concerns and that they better be taken seriously. And they really, really need to practice embracing their critics, really, because we could make the city a lot greater, but they keep so, yeah, just us following up and getting together and letting them know that they've been exposed and they need to, they have to make it right. There's no other option.
One of the things that former Mayor Alan Autry said when he was the mayor of Fresno, he stated in a community meeting, he said, you know, he said the African-American community in Fresno is all bark and no bite. all bark and no bite. And what that means is, what the mayor was saying was that all we do is flap our gums. All we do is complain. Well, there will be a letter sent over to the mayor's office tomorrow to let them know that we do have some teeth here in Fresno, and we're not going to sit by and be disrespected by Lee Brand or any other white politician or brown politician. You talk to us before you make decisions, and that didn't happen today. It didn't happen today. And so we caught it. We have our finger on the pulse of the community. When there's an issue, you better believe and better know that Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show will be bringing it to the community to let you digest and let you have input so that you can tell us what you want to happen in our community. So this is why media is so important. We have people listening from all over the country right now, Colorado, Florida, all over the place right now. So, you know, we're not, you know, I'm not, and the people around me, we're not little paper boys and paper girls, all right? We're movers and shakers, okay? We know what's going down in our neighborhood. We just like 911. When something happens, you need the police, or you need an activist, a civil rights leader, you call Dr. Harris, Reverend Harris, and we're there. We're there. You don't even have to think about it. We're there. And so that's our track record here in this city. Go back to the show. Listen to the show. We're at the end of our show right now, but I just felt it was important that we bring this to you. Please read the chronology that's on the show, and we'll be having a follow-up show in regards to this situation here. We want our people, we want our community to be represented, maybe not with one person, but maybe with several people or three people. We can negotiate that, but we're not going to let white folks anymore continually to disrespect us, disregard us, handpick those that they feel who can represent us. No, we decide that, not you, Lee Brand. And so we'll come back again, let you give you a follow-up on what took place in the letter that we'll be putting over there tomorrow to Lee Brand. I'm going to go ahead and sign off tonight. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'd like to thank my supervisor, Chai, for tuning in. Miss you at work. Who is that? St. Joseph, thank you for tuning in. Melissa, hey, we got to get together. Tony, thank you, brother. Nicole, thank you. Hoskin, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Chisholm. Let's get together and talk. Sarah, thank you. Crystal, thank you. Love you guys. Jerry, and we're going to sign out tonight. This is Dr. Harris, 21st Century Revolutionary. No justice, no peace. Power to the people. Whose streets? Our streets. Go to the Facebook, May 1st. We will be doing a protest here in Fresno from 12 to 1. I will be on the street. We will be doing Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live across the world. We also will be doing Facebook Live to let you know what's going on. So go to the Facebook, May 1st. Go to the community calendar. Check it out. Read it. Digest it. You want to come out there, drive by, caravan, honk your horn, whatever you want to do. We're still doing our social distance. Folks will be driving by and et cetera. We're going to say good night. I love you all. Tune in. Go to FresnoFreedomSchool.com. Fresno, www.FresnoFreedomSchool.com. Look at our website. Go to YouTube. Type in Fresno Freedom School. Google our name. See what we're doing. Yesterday we planted white corn and yellow corn. We have what we have out there: tomatoes, okra, onions, eggplants, lettuce, cabbage, watermelons, honeydews, cantaloupes. Man, we doing it over here on Valencia, man. I'm telling you, Pastor, you got to come by and get you some organic vegetables. We're doing it. Love you guys, and we're gonna say good night until we see you again. Peace.